Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, September 26th. Odessa nonagenarians astound the youth. The United States' Great Depression began in October of 1929, 3 months after Joyce Hauser was born, and it ended in March of 1933, the same month that Helen Jones was born. Helen and Joyce were both Odessa elders in their 90s, and they have seen more than most folks can imagine in their 90-plus years of life. This week, they visited the Ector County Youth Center to share their life experiences. Dr. Joe Weeks of Connection Christian Church visits the county incarcerated youth each month, and this week he brought along Helen and Joyce. The goal was for the youth to interview the women and learn about what life was like for them growing up, what the world was like when these women were their age. They asked questions about technology and shopping and communications and transportation and diet. The youth were at times blown away by the answers. They asked, how did you travel into town? Where did the food come from? What was your first job? What did your school look like, and how did you call your neighbor? The women answered, a horse and wagon, out back, picking peaches for 50 cents a bushel, first through eighth grade in a one-room class schoolroom, and we got a phone when I was 13, a party line. What made it a party, the youth asked. Both women grew up in simple homes out in the country in North Texas and Central Texas. They shared stories they had in common, first dates as a teenager, similar escapades of failure the first time they each had to wring a chicken's neck, first cars they drove, first experiences of racial integration. The youth and the staff at the Ector County Youth Center were engaged and enamored with their stories of life in the 30s and 40s, the Great Depression, the time during the war, but they were equally captivated with these incredible women as they are today. Helen and Joyce are both stalwarts of their churches, St. James Baptist and Connection Christian, respectively. 91-year-old Helen volunteers at MCH three times a week, and 95-year-old Joyce regularly helps deliver Meals on Wheels to the elderly in town, all of whom on her route are younger than her. I am just happy to do, since that means they don't have to deliver them to me. Clean Refineries announces partnership to bring net zero emissions technology to Basin. In a bold move to accelerate the introduction of its proprietary net zero emissions technology, NZET, to the Permian Basin, Clean Refineries Incorporated, CRI, has announced a strategic partnership with Midland-based Permian Energy Partners, LLC. This collaboration will facilitate the early planning and construction of one or more hydrocarbon processing plants in the Permian Basin, addressing a critical need in the underserved market while creating environmentally responsible solutions and generating high-quality jobs. Our time has come to introduce a domestic and international market, a better way to process crude oil. Our closed-loop NZET process will not only supply energy markets, but do so with net zero emissions, Derek Williamson, CEO of Clean Refineries Incorporated, said in a news release. We are thrilled to partner with Permian Energy Partners, whose expertise in the Permian Basin oil and gas industry will be invaluable to our efforts. Together, we aim to establish some of the first commercial-scale NZET facilities in the U.S. This technology is set to revolutionize the hydrocarbon processing sector. David Fowler, president of Permian Energy Partners, LLC, expressed his enthusiasm for the partnership, noting the significant potential for the Permian Basin. "We have developed a strong working relationship with CRI to bring this game-changing technology to the Permian. The positive impact of new, environmentally sound crude oil processing cannot be overstated. It's not just good for the environment, but also for local communities and economies." Fowler highlighted the region's need for additional processing capacity, explaining that over 6 million barrels of oil are produced per day in the Permian Basin, yet local processing capacity remains insufficient, leading to increased transport and consumer costs. "We are moving aggressively to change that, all while protecting the environment through NZET. Site selection and land acquisition efforts are currently underway, with initial funding being raised for the project. The first facility is expected to come online by 2026-2027, with a capacity to process 20,000 barrels per day, PVD, and the potential for expansion to 100,000 PVD. This would mark the largest new refinery construction in the United States since 1977. Clean Refineries Incorporated pioneers advanced patented hydrocarbon processing technology that delivers high-value products such as asphalt, diesel, aviation fuel, and more, while achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions. This technology outperforms alternative like hydrocarbon plants, requiring a smaller footprint, lower costs, and shorter construction times. With no direct competitors, Clean Refineries is at the forefront of efficient, cost-effective, and environmentally responsible hydrocarbon processing solutions. For more information, visit www.cleanrefineries.com. Texas Rangers solve 40-year-old Ector County cold case murder. Suspect pleads guilty. The man who pled guilty to a decades-old cold case murder in Ector County will spend the next 20 years behind bars. Billy Wayne Ludwigson, 62, was arrested by the Texas Rangers after years of investigation. He pled guilty to the murder of 64-year-old Velma Nesset and was sentenced by an Ector County jury in August. An employee at Permian Mall in Odessa, Nesset usually walked to and from work. On April 19, 1982, her co-workers and family grew worried when she didn't show up for work, and a report was filed with the Odessa Police Department. Nesset's partially nude body was later found in a drainage culvert. She had been sexually assaulted and murdered. Odessa police arrested an alleged male suspect who confessed to the crime. However, during the trial in 1983, the suspect was acquitted for lack of evidence and a false confession. In the years that followed, there was no major breakthroughs in Nesset's case. Then, in 2020, Nesset's case was identified as being eligible for the Texas Department of Public Safety DPS Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, SAKI, program, which is funded by the Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Assistant, DOJ-BJA. DOJ-BJA provide investigative funding for agencies across the United States to further unsolve sexual assaults and sexually related homicides with the hope of bringing justice to the victims and their families. SAKI grant funds were utilized for the cost of the advanced DNA testing and genealogy research through Bode Technologies. The testing led to the identity of Billy Wayne Ludwigson, who was confirmed through the normal forensic DNA testing. In July 2020, the Texas Rangers and Odessa Police Department arrested Ludwigson in Denver, Colorado, and obtained his confession for Nesset's murder. In October 2020, Ludwigson was extradited to Texas and indicted by an Ector County jury on murder charges. On August 9, 2024, the now 62-year-old Ludwigson pled guilty and was sentenced to 20 years confinement in a Texas Department of Criminal Justice prison. It's time to roll up sleeves for new COVID flu shots. Fall means it's time for just about everybody to get up to date on their flu and COVID-19 vaccines, and a lot of older adults also need protection against another risky winter virus, RSV. Yes, you can get your flu and COVID-19 shots at the same time. Don't call them boosters. They're not just another dose of last year's protection. The coronavirus and influenza are escape artists that constantly mutate to evade your body's immune defenses, so both vaccines are reformulated annually to target newer strains. Right now is the best time to get all the recommended fall vaccinations, said Dr. Mandy Cohen, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As she got her flu shot Wednesday, she had an appointment for her COVID-19 shot too. It's the single most effective thing you can do to protect yourself, your family, your community. While they are not perfect, vaccinations offer strong protection against a bad case of flu or COVID-19 or dying from it. It may not present every single infection, but those infections are going to be less severe, said CDC's Dr. Dmitry Daskalaskis. I would rather have my grandmother or my great-grandmother have a sniffle than have to go to the emergency room on Thanksgiving. The challenge: getting more Americans to roll up their sleeves. Last year, just 45% of adults got a flu vaccination, and even fewer, 23%, got a COVID-19 shot. A survey released Wednesday by the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases shows an equally low number intend to this fall. And the coronavirus still killed more Americans than flu last year. Maybe we believe that it's not going to be me, or let's not take a chance. But let's not take a chance, said Dr. Michael Knight of George Washington University. Why not get a vaccine that's going to help you reduce that risk? Who needs a fall COVID-19 or flu vaccination? The CDC urges both an updated COVID-19 shot and yearly flu vaccine for everyone ages 6 months and older. If you recently had COVID-19, you can wait 2 to 3 months, but still should get an updated vaccination because of the expected winter surge. Both viruses can be especially dangerous to certain groups, including older people and those with weak immune systems and lung or heart disease. Young children also are more vulnerable. The CDC counted 199 child deaths from flu last year. Pregnancy also increases the chances of serious COVID-19 or flu, and vaccination guards mom plus ensures the newborn can have some protection too. What's new about the COVID-19 shots? Last year's shots targeted a coronavirus strain that's no longer spreading, while this year's are tailored to a new section of the coronavirus family. The Pfizer and Moderna shots are formulated against a virus subtype called KP2, while the Novavax vaccine targets its parent strain, JN1. Daskalaski said all should offer good cross-protection to other subtypes now spreading. The Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines can be used by adults and children as young as 6 months. The Novavax shot is more traditional protein vaccine combined with an immune booster and open to anyone 12 or older. Which flu vaccine to choose? High-dose shots and one with a special immune booster are designed for people 65 and older, but if they can't find one easily, they can choose a regular all-ages flu shot. For the shot-averse, the nasal spray flu mist is available, for ages 2 to 49 at pharmacies and clinics, although next year it's set to be available for use at home. All flu vaccines this year will guard against 2 type A flu strains and 1 type B strain. Another once common form of type B flu quit spreading a few years ago and was removed from the vaccine. What about the other virus, RSV? RSV, or respiratory syncytial virus, is a cold-like nuisance for most people, but too packs hospitals every winter and can be deadly for children under 5, the elderly, and people with certain high-risk health problems. The CDC recommends an RSV vaccination for everyone 75 and older, and for people 60 to 74 who are at increased risk. This is a one-time shot, not a yearly vaccination, but only 24% of seniors got it last year. It's also recommended late in pregnancy to protect babies born during the fall and winter. And while your arm may hurt and you may feel crummy for a day, it's also fine to get the RSV, flu, and COVID-19 vaccines at the same time, Daskalakis said. What will it cost? The vaccines are supposed to be free under Medicare, Medicaid, and most private insurance plans if people use an in-network provider. About 1.5 million uninsured adults got free COVID-19 vaccinations through a federal program last year, but that has ended. Instead, the CDC is providing $62 million to health departments to help improve access, and states and larger cities are starting to roll out their plans. Call your local health department to ask about options, because in many areas, availability of vaccine is lower or no cost is expected to trickle in over the next couple of weeks, advised Dr. Raynard Washington, who heads the Mecklenburg County, North Carolina Health Department. Check the government website, vaccines.gov, for availability at local pharmacies. Obituaries. Billy Lee York. Billy Lee York, 74, of Lubbock, passed away peacefully on Saturday, September 21st. A visitation will be held Friday, September 27th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. A funeral service will be held Saturday, September 28th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa. Pastor Mike Harkrider officiating. Mac Welch Dalton. Mac Welch Dalton, 85, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 3rd in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. September 27th at Dallas-Fort Worth National Cemetery. Bishop Adam Byrd is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Galen Garrett Ryan. No services have been scheduled. Galen Ryan Garrett, 71, of Odessa, died Friday, September 20th in Odessa. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Jess Ellis Jones, Sr. Jess Ellis Jones, Sr., 89, of Odessa, died Monday, September 16th in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. September 28th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Pastor Paul Thompson is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Norma June Prather Proskish. Norma June Proskish Prather, 93, of Odessa, died Wednesday, September 11th in Odessa. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. September 26th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Margarita H. Rodriguez. Margarita H. Rodriguez, 82, of Midland, died Saturday, September 22nd in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. September 27th at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery. National Merit recognizes 7 more MISD students. Midland ISD announced 7 outstanding students who have been recognized as commended students by the National Merit Scholarship Program. To qualify, each of these students scored among the top 3% of all participants nationwide at the PSAT National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test. When added to the number of National Merit semifinalists announced earlier this month, this brings the total number of MISD students recognized by National Merit to 10, up from only 4 in 2023 and only 2 in 2022. This year commended students: Ileana Aguilla, Midland High School; Aiden Sanchez, Midland High School; Ryan Rounds, Legacy High School; Paula Padron, Young Women's Leadership Academy; Hannah Russum, Young Women's Leadership Academy; Sumi Swartz, Early College High School; Mackenzie Dunaway, Early College High School. These recognitions come in addition to 64 MISD students who recently earned the College Board's National Recognition Award, adding to the list of MISD recent academic achievements and honors. The achievements of these students are a testament to their hard work and dedication. Amanda Melchor, MISD's Executive Director of Secondary Teaching and Learning, said in a news release, "Being named a commended student is an incredible accomplishment that will enhance college and career prospects and raise the profile of MISD academies as a whole." Commended scholars and National Merit semifinalists will be recognized at the October 15th school board meeting. DPS makes solicitation arrest. A 40-year-old man was arrested last week after Texas DPS special agents said he showed up for a prearranged meeting space to have sex with someone he thought was a 16-year-old girl. According to a Department of Public Safety report, a special agent met Austin Lee Barnes online while posing as a 16-year-old girl. Over the course of a month, Barnes asked the girl several questions about oral sex and meeting. He also asked the girl for photos, the report stated. On September 19th, Barnes showed up at a predetermined meeting space to have sex with the girl, and condoms were found in his vehicle, the report stated. According to the report, Barnes told agents he knew what he'd done was wrong. Barnes was arrested on suspicion of online solicitation of a minor and child grooming. He was booked into the Ector County Jail, and bond was set as $130,000. The Wallflowers to play Ector Theater. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present the Wallflowers on September 27th. The doors will open at 7 p.m. and the event will start at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $55. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit theector.com/event/thewallflowers. Council talks bathroom issues again. The Odessa City Council voted to dissolve the Tax Incentive Committee and adopted a new employee benefits package Tuesday night, but postponed an in-depth discussion about changing the city's bathroom ordinances. Assistant City Manager Christina Burns told the council the Tax Incentive Committee has been reviewing criteria and guidelines for tax abatement every other year and checking compliance with existing agreement requirements every year since 2011. On August 16th, the committee discussed asking the Odessa Development Corporation to take on its responsibilities, and the ODC board agreed it would be willing to do so on September 10th meeting. Council member Mark Mata abstained from the vote as he's on the committee, but the other 6 members passed the motion to dissolve it and to transfer its duties to the ODC. The Council also signed off on the employee benefits package presented to the Council by Geringer Benefit Services on September 10th. It will go into effect January 1st. City Manager John Beckmeyer presented the Council with two ordinances to consider as they look at amending the city's law concerning entering bathrooms on the of the opposite sex. One of them was worked on by the city's legal department, and another one had already been before a court and survived the scrutiny of the ACLU, Beckmeyer said. Council member Chris Haney also has proposed ordinance he plans to submit to for consideration. My ordinance, it doesn't just cover the city, it covers, not just city property, it covers the whole city, everybody's private stuff, Haney said. That's where this is needing. Not just in the city, it's needed all over the whole city, individual, restaurants, dressing rooms, schools, all of it. Beckmeyer told the council the city needs to have ordinances in place so it is standing should the federal government step in and pass sweeping legislation. Mayor Javier Hoban agreed, saying there will be a huge assault on local control should Vice President Kamala Harris become our next president. One member of the audience, Tracy Austin, questioned the need for such an ordinance. She asked how many calls OPD had received about someone of the opposite gender going into a restroom, and she wondered how such an ordinance would be enforced. How are you going to tell who is female and who is male? You can't without DNA and anatomy checks, she said. Do you intend to have people carry their birth certificates? She said the whole thing seems a little bit silly to her. I think we should move on from imaginary problems and talk about problems that are wide scale and do affect a lot of Odessans. For example, the water, trash pickup, and even our understaffed police department, Austin said. Another audience member, Jeff Russell, told the council it's not an imaginary problem and recounted how his teenage granddaughter encountered a man in women's clothing in the women's restroom at the fast food restaurant where she works. I just like to ask you guys to give it serious and due consideration, Russell said. A third audience member, Tim Harry, agreed with Russell. We need to get on top of this before it is a problem. Somebody with a perversion doesn't need to be in a restroom with my kids, doesn't need to be in a restroom with your kids and your grandkids, Harry said. The item will be placed back on the agenda in 2 weeks. The council voted to approve for the first time the 2024 tax levy. The fiscal year 23 tax rate is 48.3791 cents per $100 valuation. The proposed rate is 46.6275. The no new tax revenue rate is 46.2503. In other matters, the council voted unanimously to replace a heating and cooling unit at the animal shelter that caught fire June 26, using funds from the police department's training and academy facility project account. Burns told the council the unit will cost roughly $283,000. The city's deductible is $100,000, and insurance will make up the difference. She said once the insurance kicks in, the OPD account will be reimbursed. She noted the manufacturer's warranty on the unit expired in April. It will take 14 weeks to get the replacement unit, and in the meantime, the city is renting a unit. Haney asked Burns to investigate if the electricians on the animal control project was the same one who did work at one of the city parks. He didn't name the park, but Haney said he experienced an issue where recently became the wiring had been done wrong. We need to find out if this was the same deal, because if that spark, then that should fall on the electrician, not us, Haney said. Assistant Odessa Police Department Chief Matt Davidson also gave an update on the police department's ARPA-funded project Tuesday night. He said contractors will begin replacing OPD's elevator in about 6 weeks, and all of the materials have been purchased, and the contracts for the lobby restroom renovation project are under review. The council also signed off on a contract for the demolition of the police department's 43,000 square foot parking garage at North Lee and West 3rd Street. The three projects combined are about $194,000 under budget, so Hoven instructed Davidson to begin looking at other projects that could be funded by American Rescue Plan Act funds. Midland man sentenced in deadly crash. A 27-year-old Midland man was sentenced to 10 years deferred adjudication last week in connection with a wreck that took the lives of two people. Chance Eden will also have to perform 600 hours of community service after pleading guilty to two counts of evading arrest, causing death, and one count of evading arrest, causing serious bodily injury in the 70th Ector County District Court. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report and his indictment, Eden was fleeing from a law enforcement officer on August 18, 2021, when his Dodge Charger rear-ended a Peterbilt tractor trailer on westbound State Highway 302 as the tractor trailer slowed down to turn into a parking lot. Two of Eden's passengers, Nicholas Terrazas and German Aguirre, Jr., both 19-year-olds from Midland, died in the crash. His third passenger, a 20-year-old man from Midland, was seriously injured. Pink the Basin Annual Luncheon. Pink the Basin Annual Luncheon is scheduled October 1st at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Doors will open at 11 a.m. Guest speaker Diana Jordan is excited to be chosen by Oprah as one of the funniest people on the planet. In 2010, Jordan was diagnosed with breast cancer and is now a 14-year survivor. The luncheon will have a style show featuring clothes from Julian Gold. The 10 models are breast cancer survivors from the Permian Basin. There will also be raffle and 10 raffle prizes. These prizes are donated by the following: Sam L. Majors Jewelers, Dazzling Decor, Rebecca Dodge, EF Outfitters, McKinney Outfitters, and Kendra Scott Midland. Pink the Basin is a local nonprofit that was incorporated in 2012. Their mission is to help the community in the Permian Basin with mammograms and diagnostic services. Visit pinkthebasin.com/pink-events for more information. World-famous soprano Barbara Padilla to perform with West Texas Symphony. Mexican-American soprano Barbara Padilla has captivated audiences globally. On October 5th at 7:30, she will join the West Texas Symphony on stage at the world-class Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Specializing in a vibrant classical crossover performance, Padilla will dazzle audiences with her powerful, transcendent voice and enchant timeless songs that ignite the imagination. Ethan Wills, executive director of the West Texas Symphony, said in a news release, "It's an honor to welcome Barbara back with our orchestra. To perform with someone of her performance prowess is such a joy. Audiences of all musical tastes are encouraged to attend and wear pink." Padilla became a household name when she received outstanding reviews for her unforgettable performances on America's Got Talent, AGT, achieving first runner-up. AGT judge Piers Morgan stated that Barbara's performance was the greatest single vocal performance we've ever had on America's Got Talent. Since America's Got Talent, Padilla has enjoyed years of success performing with multi-Grammy award-winning professionals such as David Foster, Raul de Blasio, Fernando de la Mora, Chris Botti, Juan Gabriel, and many more. Padilla toured with Juan Gabriel as his featured soloist for the last 2 years of his life. Padilla is originally from Guadalajara, Mexico, and is a cancer survivor, stage 4 Hodgkin's disease. She regularly gives her life testimony at speaking engagements and performs at cancer fundraiser events. She earned an undergraduate degree from the University of Guadalajara and master's degree from the University of Houston Moores School of Music. Padilla continues to perform with prestigious symphonies and top music industry elites. She gives motivational speaking conferences and appears regularly on a variety of programs via TV, radio, podcasts, and live on stage. West Texas Symphony is asking patrons to pink the symphony by wearing pink in support of breast cancer awareness for this special partnership with Pink the Basin. Tickets are $33 to $60. Students are $12. Purchase tickets at WTSX.org or by calling 800-514-3849. West Texas Symphony and Barbara Padilla is generously sponsored by Cotton Bledsoe, Ty and Dawson PC, Salisbury, KMID, Big Four, and the Odessa American. For more information on this or other West Texas Symphony events, visit w2tsx.org.
Entertainment events this weekend in Midland County, Friday, September 27th through Sunday, September 29th. By Midland Times, September 26th, 2024. Don't miss out on the best entertainment at Midland County this weekend. Here's what entertainment events are on the agenda for your weekend enjoyment. Friday, September 27th, event, The Great Outdoors Gaming Club, Midland County Centennial Library, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Event, Sci Friday, Sunshine, Museum of the Southwest, 7 to 9:30 p.m. Saturday, September 28th, event, Storytime, Silly Millie, Museum of the Southwest, 11 to 11:30 a.m. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Times. Opinion. Writer returns to writing columns in Midland Times News by Shanna Sissom Iverson, September 26, 2024. Greetings, fellow Midlanders. It's been over a decade since I've written a column, but how exciting is the opportunity to be a small part of such a positive news organization? Longtime residents of our dynamic city may remember columns and news stories from my days at the Midland Reporter-Telegram, where Midland Times Operation Manager Kim De La Pena and I worked in different departments. Those were the good old days when my dear friend, the late journalist, extraordinaire and unforgettable character Ed Todd, was still among us. Kim's gentle persistence in recent months caused me to realize I miss writing about random acts of kindness by Midlanders from all walks of life, interesting fur baby stories, lighthearted opinion pieces, and such. So I'm stepping out of a full-time early retirement to occasionally contribute here. As a no-nonsense, decades-long, and old-school journalist, I find major network news slanted and divisive in whatever direction suits them. Of course, right now, real news in an election cycle is stressful and sometimes downright disgusting. Don't get me wrong, I follow polling daily. But sometimes we all need a break. Perhaps that is why my first online contribution, if it can be called that, a short video featuring a local chicken walking on a leash, received a few thousand reviews in the Midland Times online edition. It brought laughter to the chicken's owner, retired Midland pharmacist Karen Kaufman, and many others. She even heard about it at church on Sunday. Not sure if it came from the pulpit. Seems Cordelia the chicken brought sorely needed comic relief. Please know I'm eager to hear from any reader who can successfully walk a cat on a leash. Yours truly looks forward to knowing our readers better, hearing from those who love our community, and sharing your stories about life in Midland. We will do our best in this space to avoid negative remarks about rude drivers coming through town and never-ending road construction. Please know I am more than capable of writing real news stories and will do so occasionally, just not in this space. Right now, I really want to find a cat walking on a leash. Until next time, God's blessings to you all. Midland Proclaims Day in honor of two-time Olympian Hopple. By Midland Times, September 25, 2024. The city of Midland honored a two-time Olympian with roots in the Permian Basin by proclaiming a day in his honor. September 24th was deemed Bryce Hopple Day by Midland City Council. The city shared a Facebook reel featuring Hopple at City Hall as Mayor Lori Blanc read the proclamation. According to the post, the former Midland High School Bulldog and University of Kansas, KU, Jayhawk, said that Midland will always be home to him, thanking the community for its support. Hopple, who turned 27 on September 5th, returned home after competing in the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. The 6-foot-tall athlete placed fourth in the men's 800-meter final on the penultimate day of the Olympiad. clocking a time of 1 minute 41 seconds and 67 milliseconds, which was both a personal best and a new U.S. record. Hoppel left Paris as the fastest American in the 800 meter and the fourth fastest in the world. In a Facebook post following the race, the Midland Chamber thanked Hoppel for inspiring us all and showing that hard work and dedication can take you anywhere. West Texas Jazz Society to hold networking event featuring piano concert by Mathis Picard. By Midland Times, September 26, 2024, the West Texas Jazz Society will be holding a networking event featuring a piano concert performance by composer Mathis Picard. According to Eventbrite, the event will be held on Saturday, September 28, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the second floor of the second-story co-working building in the downtown portion of the city. The first hour of the event will allow attendees to network with other professionals, chat with friends, and grab desserts. Tickets for the event range from $55 to $500, according to Eventbrite. The performance is being held as a business casual event. However, attendees can dress up for a night out on the town. Those interested in going to the performance are encouraged to park in the parking lot off Missouri Avenue near the library or the parking garage off Main Street. According to the Mathis' website, he is a French Malagasy pianist, composer, producer, and band leader who currently resides in New York City. His musical style merges electronic bass music, jazz, classical, and stride piano based on the tradition of live acoustic performances while incorporating the latest musical technology and his multinational background. I fell in love with stride piano around the age of 12, Picard told Playbill in 2018. I was going to a boarding school for music in London, and the kids around me were playing classical piano, but for me, the bridge from classical to jazz piano was Fats Waller, James P. Johnson, and Willie the Lion Smith, the greats of Harlem stride piano.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.